In his 1950 article, Computing, Machinery and Intelligence, Alan Turing proposed the question, can machines think? It went on to discuss what Turing called the intelligence game, what we now know as the Turing test. The sound you can hear is Colossus, the world's first programmable computer, the rebuild of which is housed here at the National Museum of Computing within the grounds of Bletchley Park in the UK. It's somewhat fitting then, in this, the centenary of Turing's birth, that the annual Loebner Prize is being held this year at Bletchley Park Mansion.
My name is Hugh Loebner. I'm the sponsor of the Loebner Prize for Artificial Intelligence, which is a Turing test. I started the competition for a variety of reasons. One, self-aggrandizement. Number two, I've always wanted 100% unemployment, and I thought that this might expedite the development of artificial intelligence to the point where computers could replace humans. The difficulty would be distributing the goods. But I'd like to see 100% unemployment without any diminution of production or consumption. So the really difficult problem will be how to distribute it and how to reorganize society, especially now that you have 3D printing. It may be much faster than I thought. Also, it was an experiment. I have a PhD in sociology, demography, population studies. But society is chaotic. You know, chaos theory, the slightest initial change would produce a big result, and they had been discussing the Turing test for 40 years by the time I started this. Alan Turing proposed his test in 1950, now we're up to 1990, and it seemed to me that whoever started out with the contest would break symmetry. You know about symmetry breaking, right? So if you get a globe of water, any way you turn it, it's the same, it's infinite symmetry, but once you freeze it, it's not the same. You can't spin it around because you've got these flaws in it. And if you look at a social thing like society on the dimension of the first Turing test, there was no first Turing test. So if each person is considered a little vector pointing this way and that way, so forth, you know, it's all over, like the water molecules each way. But once there was the first Turing test, the Loebner Prize, everything pointed in that direction. And that's symmetry breaking. It's no longer, you can't look at it all the way. So it's famous symmetry breaking. That's one of my contributions to knowledge.
Why do you think Turing's test is still significant today?
I would say that anything, like any entity that could pass the Turing test would do pretty well on most any other test. You know, people say, it's no good, it should be this way, it should be that way, blah, 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 medicine. Fine. But if you can get an entity that could pass the Turing test, it could probably pass any other test that a human could pass, you know, by definition. I know a lot of people have criticized the Loebner Prize, and they're criticizing the Turing test, but if they don't like it, do their own thing. The only criticism that I will accept as being valid is one that points out methodological errors. The first four contests were restricted conversation. I thought it was garbage. The Loebner Prize committee liked it. The AI community thought it was garbage. That was a legitimate criticism. Now I haven't heard any real criticisms of the Loebner Prize in terms of methodological failures or shortcomings. And if there were, and it were valid, I'd just alter the contest, really. I mean, there are differences. For example, I like character by character. That's sort of an aesthetic decision, you know? I mean, I like to see the characters appear one by one. I mean, people would, it's got to appear line by line. Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, really, it's just an aesthetic thing. It makes it a little more interesting, you know? It's a little harder to pass because it's not ahead of a line. You know? The judge may type something and stop. And the human will have no problem. Will the computer be able to do that? The idea that you can create a machine that could think is pretty interesting. I mean, I've told the other interviewers, when it comes to human-human interaction, I'm pretty low on the percentile there. I mean, it's not that I'm autistic or anything, but I'd never be a politician, you know? First of all, I'm too honest. Here's the problem. I was had to make the medals, you know? How many medals should I have cast? You know, so I had 50 cast. Would it be 50 years? Maybe. I don't know. I really, you know, I can't say that. People want my opinions about this. I really don't know. It probably will be after I'm dead. I'm 70 years old, another 25 years maybe, you know. I've got, 20 medals left, 22 medals left. Somebody will have to be around to give them out or whatever.
And meanwhile, the judges We have to now. We have to have a way. Okay, now. Well, wait a second. Before anybody sits down, we have to set it up so that we know which is which. Let me speak to the humans.
Okay, the humans, yes.
Humans here. Four humans, raise your hands. Thank you, humans, for participating in the Loebner Prize. Let me explain what this is. On this table are four computers with four AI programs. These four terminals, 1, 2, 3, 4, are also connected to the other room. You type into this little box there. Now, your job is to convince the judges that you are the human. That's it. At the end of each round, there will be four rounds of 30 minutes, 25 minutes of interaction, and 5 minutes for you to switch around, and we can clean the things up here. Then you, let's get up and go to the next computer terminal after we reset. Okay? And I will come in and tell you 2 minutes to go, and then maybe 1 minute to go, 1 minute to go, and you're very authoritative in those times. And then stop. You get up and just sit over somewhere while somebody comes in and presses reset. Okay? And that's it. You'll find it amusing, probably. This is going to be webcast. So all the world will be available to observe your interest. Okay? Are there any questions, humans? Nothing at all? All right, let me set my clock for 30 minutes, first of all. So let me see how things are over here.
I'm Dr. David Levy. I won the Loebner Prize in 1997 and in 2009. This is a kind of world championship for computer programs that carry on conversations. The idea of the contest is to see which program, we call them chatbots, which chatbot is the best conversation partner in the world. And the way the competition works is that we have four judges, and each of the judges carries on conversations with the computer programs that are competing, and the judges also have conversations with humans. And at the end of the contest, the judges have to rank all the conversations from most human-like to least human-like, and whichever program gets the highest average ranking for being most human-like is declared the winner of the competition. They win a check for $5,000 and the bronze medal.
It's been 52 years since Turing first proposed this. How far do you think we've come in those years?
I think there's been a certain amount of progress, but I think it's been fairly limited, and certainly not as much as Turing expected. He predicted that by the year 2000, about 70% of the time computer programs would be able to convince humans that the program was a human. We're nowhere near that yet. I think there have been a lot of problems in reaching that goal. One of the problems is that most of the people working in this field are individuals, so they have to reinvent the wheel, and that takes a lot of time. Also, I think that there aren't the resources being pumped into this kind of research as there were in, say, computer chess, which is another area of artificial intelligence, which has obviously made great progress since they can now play better than the human world champion. But I think that the reason that chess programmers became so successful was because of the huge amount of effort that was put into it. I do believe that within the first half of this century, there will be programs that can converse as well as humans and in an interesting and entertaining way.
This is the centenary of Alan Turing's birth. Do you feel events like this bring him to a wider public?
Oh, certainly. I mean, just this event today, there'll be a lot of publicity, I imagine, in the next few days in the newspapers. One of the judges is a Times science journalist, and they've got a photographer here, so that's, you know, our leading national newspaper is going to be giving the event coverage. And also we've had a lot of BBC people here, people from all over Europe, Sweden, Germany, Austria, France, TV interviews, radio interviews. The journal Nature, which is the most prestigious science journal in the world, is covering it on their website. I think that the publicity generated by this event is putting Turing's name and the whole idea of the Turing test before a much wider public.
Yeah, they're all started right now. Yeah. Yeah. 2 minutes. We're just starting the intellect. Are they all?
Kent, can you just check that it's the website?
Well, let's get the done. Okay, on the. Okay, we're waiting. When I say go, don't run that right yet. Just 1 second.
I'm a great supporter of Turing's philosophy, and I believe that, you know, if it looks like a duck and behaves like a duck and quacks like a duck, then you've got to assume it is a duck. I mean, there are a lot of philosophers and other people who argue that Deep Blue doesn't play chess. Will you try telling Kasparov that Deep Blue doesn't play chess?
That's okay. Wait for something to come through and then start typing. Okay, good.
This is it. This is it.
Hi, I'm Phil Perkins. I'm Professor of Archaeology at the Open University, and I've been invited here to be a judge for the Loebner Prize. We've just done two rounds, and in each round I get to type messages with a person or a computer, I don't know which, and they've all been very different so far. The ones I think are computers were very different from each other, and the ones I think were humans were also different from each other. And I think I know which was which, but I'm not going to say yet. Not till the end, anyway.
Now it's time to come. 1 minute. You can start. Okay, 30 minutes to go. 25 minutes to go. Pardon me.
I asked what a kiwi fruit said looked like and said he didn't know, despite having total talking and acid taste in the mouth.
Yeah, my name's Tom Whipple. I'm the science correspondent at the Times, and I'm here to see, obviously, if these chatbots can convince me that they're human or not. I have to say they've been a fairly mixed bag. The one I've just had has been the best I've had so far. I don't detect any different strategies, really, between them. This one worked very well because it asked questions, and then it had clearly a set of nested results after that that it could go to. And it also had some quite interesting and long answers to its own questions, so it appeared that we were having conversation. The previous one just asked questions and then didn't respond to my answers, and if I asked a question, it said, not sure. It wasn't the most sophisticated program I've come across, but the last one I was quite impressed by. And I think it's been a fun day.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, done.
Hello, I'm Michael Steen. I've been a judge today. I used to be a mathematician once upon a time, but I'm specialised in tax nowadays. But it was very interesting to come here and to see something which was originated by Alan Turing, and to see how far his ideas have been promulgated by others. Quite remarkable. A remarkable man who deserves better recognition than he currently has.
No, thank you, Joy.
I know you have,
yeah. I'm really looking forward to yours.
Yeah, I know, it's obviously a screen.
At your proper, look at your page. We're round three. We're at round three. So please make sure you get the right seat. Okay, on your mark. Get set. Go.
So my name's Dr. Ed Keedwell. I'm a lecturer in computer science from the University of Exeter. We hosted the contest last year in October, and that's how I got involved with the Loebner Prize. This year we are organising the webcast of the whole contest, so the first time it's been done, obviously from Bletchley Park, so people around the world can keep track of the conversations as they happen.
How do you think it's going today? Have you had any technical issues at all?
We had one small problem with the wireless network, which we have hopefully dealt with now. So we have all the data basically for it. We just need to get it posted up onto the website. So that's fine. We've had, but basically we've been okay in terms of technical issues. I think it's gone a little more smoothly than we perhaps hoped.
We need to reset the machine.
Yeah, all done. The 22nd Loebner Prize competition has completed. Now we have to get the answers. If you folks would come into one of the drawing room, I think it is. I want you to take the time now to rank, order the entities you thought were the programs, the ones under which you have the one or the C or whatever, computer. One is the most human, four is the least human. Okay? And that will enable us to rank it if nobody gets it. The computer was on the right in the second one. The computer was on the left in the third one.
Yeah.
And the computer was on the left in the fourth one. So it was left, left, right, right. For the human, the humans were left, left, right, right.
No, humans were right, right, left, left, and the computers were
left. No. According to the sheet. Wait a second. We can check it out. We'll hold that in abeyance because I might have copied it down wrong when we set it up. Wait a second. Hold it.
I'll go check that one.
Okay, check. It gets a little complicated because you see you have the programs in one thing and then the judges are switching around, and I really should change the spreadsheet. So if that is real, temporarily, if this is real, Adam will have one because this is the most judges for, which is one. Otherwise, then we'll go into the next stage.
This is great, great tension.
Way more exciting this way.
Well, I don't know. It seems that it indicates a measure of incompetence on the contest management part of the US. I would know. Let's just wait for a second on this.
Okay, so check it with webcast and everything. So for round two, program four, write was the program.
There you go. Oh, check the webcast. You notice that there are backups. Okay, now, there's nobody. Now, it would appear that the winner of the contest is P1, Chip Devant, with a median score of 1.2. Yay! Well, let's check it out. Let's just check it one more time. Let's make sure this is the case. Chip Devant, you got a 2. Chip Devant, where's Chip Devant? You got a 1. So that's 3. 4. 5 divided by 4 is 1.25. Okay, so the winner, again. Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the 2012 Loebner Prize is Chip Devant, and that was Chip Devant with Mo and Ember. Mo and Ember is Chip Devant.
Yeah.
Hooray! Hooray! So the rank order is winning, and it looks like it's right. I mean, these are the ones. Chip one, program one was Chip one. I'm pretty sure of this. This is it. Let's make sure I got the right programs here. North, south, east, west. Sorry about this, but I like to double check everything, and I don't like to make mistakes. But I'll automate this whole thing. You're right. Maybe just have it.
My IT consultancy services are available.
The winner is Chip Avant, which is Mohan Ember. He will get $5,000. He's entered many times, and I'm happy to see him win. Quite a surprise, but that's it. And as far as you can tell, that's it, right?
Yep.
But it is one way or the other. I mean, that's it.
What about the humans? Did they get ranked?
No, it's okay. We can do without that. They should have been, but it's just, you can see, we don't want to be here tomorrow. Are there any questions?
Why were you surprised?
I sort of thought that Wilcox is what?
Angela.
I thought Angela would have done better.
What you were saying, it was a cat all the time.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. Okay, there you go. Maybe if, that's it. Fine. That's
clearly wasn't a human.
Fine, look, it's up to the people to do what they want. I don't write their programs. I just sit and try to run the thing. I'll try to arrange it so that next year it's a little more coherent, so you can just go right and put the numbers in. Any other questions? When can we get out of here? No. Anything else? Fine. Well, that's it. It's a wrap. I'd like to thank Ed Keywell for being very helpful, and his assistant Kent X, for the webcasting, the people and folks at Bletchley Park, Kelsey and everybody have just been wonderful, absolutely wonderful, at this historic site where Turing worked during World War II, and I was here last year to discuss having the contest this year, and I can literally say that it was trotting on hallowed ground. You know, some people go to Jerusalem to trot on hallowed ground. Well, that was the same with me. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up a little, seeing where Turing did his work. And it was a wonderful experience to be here, and my greatest thanks to everybody. And thank you, and we'll see what happens next year, wherever it's going to be. Thank you again, and I'll send these off to Mo and Ember. I suppose I should call them, but I don't have a cell phone. My cell phone only works in the U.S. No more questions. Thank you for attending. Thank you to the judges and to the Human Confederates. I'd like to thank you very, very much for participating. I hope you found it interesting and perhaps challenging. It's really challenging for me to get these things up. And that's it. That's the Turing test. And if there are any other questions, you can see me afterwards or interviews. But that's it. It's a wrap. Maybe we should keep it.
My name's Tracy Logan. I'm a science and technology reporter working mainly for the BBC, and I've been covering digital stories for the last 15 to 20 years now. So I was very pleased and delighted to be a judge on the Loebner Prize, to actually put all my theories to the test and see if I could detect which was the human and which was the computer. I think all of the judges were surprised how easy it was to tell the computers from the humans. And also, some of the chatbots had some very annoying ways about them. One of them just fired questions at you incessantly before you'd even had a chance to answer the first one and refused to answer any questions, which seemed quite rude, but obviously it was a computer. Another one was actually overtly rude. So, for instance, whenever it couldn't answer a question or didn't understand something you'd said, it would be sarcastic. It would say something like, am I supposed to think that's interesting? Or why haven't you answered my question? And it's strange, really, because it started to get me annoyed and angry. And even though it was a computer, I suppose I was having a human response to it. And I kept telling myself, this is only a program, this is only a program, just change the subject and ask it something it can handle. But I just didn't like that one at all. There was one that seemed to be rather more sophisticated, but the only thing is it kept telling me stories about memories of itself as a kitten. And I wasn't really interested in its memories of itself as a kitten. And then it asked me about my memories of myself. It just wasn't really that receptive to anything I wanted to say. And I just couldn't help thinking that if I stuck next to it at a dinner party, I would be having the evening from hell. So I was delighted to encounter Chip Vivant, who actually seemed to want to talk to me at my own pace, was interested in me, and even answered a question. You know, I wanted it to tell me something about itself, and it told me that its name was Chip. There was a warmth about it and a friendliness. And although it didn't actually make much of an effort to hide the fact that it was a computer, it said things like, for instance, I'm sorry, I don't understand that, but when I learn more, I will be able to answer that question. Or perhaps you could phrase that question in a different way so that I could understand it. So it was clearly a computer, but it had a sort of a warmth and a humility and an empathy and an interest in me, it seemed, that the others didn't really have. So overall, I think most of the judges really liked that programme, and it was a worthy winner in our case, although I was sad to see that the organisers were really shocked about our choice.
That was very embarrassing.
It added theatre to it.
Yes, it added theatre, but anyway, there it is. That's the kind of, it's over. Oh, I can sleep tonight. I don't wake up screaming in the middle of the night.
Were you surprised?
Yes, I think that I was surprised that Chip Vivant won, but I'm happy. Moen Ember is a very nice guy. He's been very supportive in his own way. And yes, I'm very happy that he won.
Do you think you'll ever see the gold medal go?
No, I don't think so. I'm 70. I doubt if I'll live 20 more years, although I might. But if I, maybe in 10 or 15 years, they'll still will be one. Maybe.